Exciter dukket plutselig opp bak I hjernen, og da fant jeg frem et intervju med originalgitarrist John Ritchie. Han ute av bandet nå, men det verska ikke som det var planen sist vi snakket. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, det her Jernverket. Før intervjuet jeg noe jeg må si. For at Jernverket skal overleve som podcast, trengs det midler. Og du kan bidra med støtte månedlig via patreon.com/jernverket eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPS nummer 567438. Beløpet selvsagt valgfritt. All informasjon står nederst I episodebeskrivelser med lenker som fører jeg rett til kassen. Tusen takk for alle bidragene så langt. Jeg klarer ikke dette uten deg.
It's difficult because no radio stations want it. So you just
yeah. I mean,
have to
do
it.
You know, the power hour we went from 3 hours to 1 hour to canceled. Well, that was you know, that's the way it goes. You know,
it's
yeah.
sad.
Yeah. Well, Canada's totally different from this part of the world. I mean, as far as trends, if hard rock and heavy metal starts to phase off and another trend of music starts to fade in. That's it. They forget about rock and heavy metal. Gone. They don't even dedicate a little bit of time to it. You know, that's the way it is. But in Europe and you know this part of the world, Scandinavia, like there's an audience for each style of music. You know, country music, heavy metal music. You know, pop music. You know, rap. That's everyone. All those markets do well. Hmm. It's not like that in North America.
It isn't.
No.
So it's very.
It's
like
very trendy. Mm. You know,
with just one genre that's on top each time, like every 10th year.
That's right. Like, if you're playing music in a particular genre of music, and it's not what's in at the moment, you're gonna have a hard time trying to be successful. But you know, we've always just our attitude with Exciter was like, we do our stuff. If people like it, fine. If they don't like it, oh, well, it's too bad. You know, we just do, we're playing the music that we enjoy playing, you know. I know we have a worldwide fan base. It's incredible, you know. Mm. Even when we play festivals, some of the younger bands will come backstage and say, oh, you know, your first album, your second album, your third album, you know, if it wasn't, you know, because of Exciter, we wouldn't be playing music, period, you know. Mm. So it's very flattering.
Of course.
Yeah.
You don't get to hear that every day as
no.
a normal person.
No, it's very satisfying for us as musicians as well.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, go ahead. I'm talking too much.
Yeah, no, that's your job. You should talk too much. Like, but we could just start with you presenting yourself, who you are, and what you do in Exciter, just for listeners to place your voice.
I'm John from Exciter. I put the band together in the late 70s. I auditioned Dan Beeler and Alan Johnson. They played in other local groups from my city. We got together, and from our very first rehearsal, there was incredible chemistry, musical chemistry. And, you know, I knew the band was destined for greater things. So, you know, we've been playing, you know, right to this day, you know, 2017, still as enthused and about our music like we've always been. So, you know, Exciter for us is like a lifetime achievement goal. So we're still trying to achieve that goal.
Can you tell us a little bit about the formation of Exciter and the first year, the classic years with the three first albums?
The thing is, the first three records, we're just writing good songs. We hope to write good songs. We had no idea that, you know, we were going to be responsible for a new genre of heavy metal, like speed metal and thrash metal. We didn't even know what those words meant. You know, especially our first record, it was a 9-song demo tape that we recorded in the home of our sound technician. And, you know, it was a cassette tape back in the day. And I mailed that cassette tape all over the world. To managers and record companies, this, you know, fans, all these people were trading this tape. It was circulating around the world like crazy. Finally, when we got signed to our record deal with Shrapnel Records in the States, and the record came out, we initially sold the first week. We had advanced sales of, you know, as far as I was told, like 10,000 advanced copies before the record was even like in the music store, in the record stores, because all these kids and people in the industry that I mailed the cassette to, we became like popular just based on the cassette tape. So when the album came out, people already knew, oh, I want that album, you know, they want the, you know, the cover and everything, you know, to make it complete. So everything happened so fast for us. We didn't know what was happening. Like, it was like we could start getting fan mail. You know, I had to open a P.O. box at the post office to handle all the mail coming in. And we would read all these great letters from these people from all over the world. Like, oh, my God, you know. We weren't ready for it. You know, we're like, we didn't know what to do. We were very unprepared for it. And, you know, then after our first record deal, we got a second record deal and we got a third record deal. Like, those first three albums are like creative innocence. You know, we're just trying to write good music. We didn't have a goal or anything. Like, we weren't trying to prove anything. We just wanted to write good songs, and we hope people liked them. So the early years of Exciter happened so fast. I remember every detail back then, you know? Like, it was like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. But it's made us, like, a much more confident band today. I mean, it took us many, many years to become confident playing our music, you know, because it's, to get on stage and play your music is very nerve-wracking because you have all these people that you're trying to impress. And, you know, but we're much more comfortable with ourselves today than we were because now we know, you know, what we've done and how many people we've influenced around the world. So now we're, you know, we're very comfortable in our own role as a musician.
But at that time, when you were young rock stars, it must have been quite an impression or a bit frightening to be rock stars just overnight like that. That you were like selling those many copies just before the album even was out. How do you deal with that as a just a normal young guy playing an instrument?
You know, we're unprepared, like I mentioned, but we didn't really grasp how influential we were until we started playing live shows outside our country. Mm. We started playing in the U.S. and in Europe. And, you know, we were playing at the time, you know, medium-sized venues. And we were headlining, and the venue would be sold out. It's like, oh, my God, you know what? Then we realized, you know, and then, you know, we'd have fans waiting outside at the hotel entrance waiting for us, and meet and greet autograph sessions before the show at the venue. And it's like, I mean, it was hard to handle. And, you know, there were times where there was a lot of tension within the band because everyone's a rock star all of a sudden. You know, we got three rock stars and everybody's has their own idea of, you know, what success should be. So sometimes, you know, there'd be friction and a little, you know, between the band members, but you know what? We always got over it. So it was hard to handle in the beginning, you know. But on the other hand, it's a dream come true. You know, every musician, a young person that starts to play music and, you know, they want to play in the band and travel, you know, it's like a dream come true. So we welcomed all that success, you know.
But you were the first one to leave the band. So, but what did you do then when you left them? Exciter, they went on. They made at least two albums without you.
I made two more records with another guitar player who actually I know and as a friend of mine. You know, we're all mutual friends. Mm. But I put together a small local band called Black Star, and we only did one local show in our city, and then that was it. We broke up. So that lasted from like 1987 to 88, and then that dissolved. That Black Star project of mine dissolved. We never recorded anything. We wrote original material, but I would say it was a little more progressive than Exciter is, you know, because I was sharing the songwriting with the other guys in this Black Star project, so the musical taste was a little bit different. But that dissolved in 88, I believe 88. And then in 1990, I regrouped with, during that time actually, that I had Black Star and Exciter continued, they dissolved also around that time as well. In 1990, I call up the drummer Dan Beeler, you know, I say, let's get back together, let's do it all over again. He said, great, but our bassist, Alan Johnson, was not interested at that time. He was just, you know, he wanted to do other things in his life, which is fine. So Dan and I got together. We got just a standby bass player, and we recorded two more records, Kill After Kill, which was a studio record, and a live record called Better Live Than Dead. Hmm. But then after that, we broke up again. Okay, so now we're back to zero. So 1996, you know, I asked the guys in the band, I'm going to continue Exciter, a new band, I'm going to call it Exciter, and I'm going to keep going. And they said, sure, no problem. So I regrouped with three other guys. Now we're a four-piece, Exciter's four-piece band, guitar, bass, and drums, and a front man, singer. And we continue for the next 20 years recording. You know, we got a record deal in France, then in Germany. And we kept touring around Europe and the United States. That dissolved in 2013. At that time, the original Dan and Alan approached me again. They want to get back together. So here we are today. So we've already been together, the original lineup, since 2014. So 3 years already.
And at that time, you probably wouldn't have thought that the three of you would do Exciter again. Since you'd been with the new Exciter for so many years, they had their own projects. But then suddenly you were back again, like you were in 83.
Yeah.
How did that feel when the three of you started out rehearsing and playing together again?
The first rehearsal we had was like we never stopped playing together. Like it was like the next day, you know, nothing was lost. And, you know, we jammed just the classic songs, you know, Heavy Metal Maniac, Violence in Force, Pounding Metal, Iron Dogs. And it was like we never stopped playing. We could have played a gig the next day. That's how tight we were. So, you know, like I said, we have really good chemistry. We play together. We feed off each other's musical style. And that's the sound of Exciter, you know. When you hear Dan Beeler playing drums and screaming vocals, hey, that's Exciter. That's an Exciter song. You know, or, you know, my guitar style, you can identify it because it's a little bit different, you know. It's very basic. It's very straight ahead. I don't try to be melodic and, you know, I just try to focus more on power and aggression with my guitar playing, you know, because that suits Exciter, you know. So, but it was... when we first got together, it was like magic. And of course, you know, we're much more laid back, the three of us. And, you know, nothing seems to bother us anymore. You know, we just, you know, we go, we do our concert. We try to do a good show for the fans. And, you know, we're content with that, you know. So we're in the comfort zone right now. You know, so everything's been going smooth since we got back together. So we're booked to like the end of 2018.
Wow.
I handle most of the band's business, but my email is continually going off with invites to play around the world, like South America, Japan, Los Angeles, Spain. Like it's so nice. Just to sit back and these promoters, they want you to play, you know, like they want you. So we're kind of like in this comfort zone at the moment. Yeah.
Do you get any time to write new music? I heard rumors that you wanted to do...
Well, we're still contracted with Massacre Records in Germany, which is a record deal left over from our contract from the other Exciter. It was a three-album deal. So But Massacre's been very good with us, and no pressure to release a new record. It will come out. We started to write new music initially, right back in 2014. But with us announcing the reunion, like all of a sudden all these shows started to come up. Not that we're a full-time band, we're actually a part-time band. But we kind of put the original material on hold because we're playing all the time. Like, you know, we're a bit, for our schedule, it's considered busy. So we have ideas, but they're not even finished yet. So it'll still be some time before a new record comes out.
But will it be like going back to the Exciter roots when you three were together the first years? Or have you developed together too without knowing it?
Well, developed, it's hard to say right now because we haven't finished the songs. It sounds all, it's what we have written sounds just like the 80s. I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's good, probably, for the fans.
But it's very, it's a lot of the same of what you've heard on the early Exciter albums. It's the same energy, same aggression. So at this point, I would say no, we're not really evolving. I know some musicians would disagree with that. They say, well, how are you going to progress if you're writing music and guitar riffs like, you know, 1985? Well, we're going to take a gamble, and hopefully the fans will still buy our records, you know, because we don't want to stray away too much from what we're known for. Because it's like starting from scratch, starting from zero, if you do that. Mm. So generally speaking, the new music sounds like the old songs. So, we'll find out when the record is released and how the fans react.
You should just go down to your basement and make the record there.
I know.
Then you'll get the right sound and everything is done.
Well, you know, we're thinking of recording in analog, not digital. Because, you know, when you record analog, and of course, with the resurgence of vinyl records, I mean, even in North America, I mean, everyone has a record player now. You know, they're coming in. You know, when I say come in, you know, people are like trying to buy their 1979 stylus so they could fit their record player, you know, like, so we're thinking about recording in, like, on tape, just like we did in the 80s, not on digital, not with software, and, you know, we may master everything in a digital sense, but, you know, maybe just record in analog. So all these thoughts are going through our mind right now. I don't know what direction we're going to take.
It's exciting, though, just to have these thoughts now. What will happen with us in the next few years?
I know. It's either we're going to stay the same level. Like, you know, I think I'm not trying to downplay Exciter, but you know, we're this underground band that everybody likes, but we never had commercial success. Like some of the bands we played with in the 80s are like superstars now, like superstars, and we're just the same. The reason for that is a lot of these bands that went on to become huge, they always had support behind them. They had, you know, management, and, you know, they pushed the band. We never had anyone like that. Like, we approached many managers and agents and, you know, but no one had the dedication to push us to a higher status. So as a result, you know, because we're self-managed, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why we're at the status we are. But you know what? We're satisfied with the status we are, you know, because we hear the big bands that we know, they're still acquaintances and friends of ours. They tell us how their band operates. They have no control over their own band. No control. They have to answer all these people, the band. Mm. The band doesn't even make decisions. Like, I'm talking about, you know, bigger bands. I'll never want to be like that. You know, we decide what to do, when we're going to do it, how we're going to do it. You know, and I think that's important for a band to keep control of themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're content where we are right now. If things ever happen and we did get to a higher status, great, you know. But, you know, otherwise, we're good where we are.
Yeah, and you could have ended up like some of the big bands that just start hating what they do, but they do it because it's their job and they don't know how to do anything else.
I know, of course, like everybody else in the world, I go on Blabbermouth and I check all the, you know, Loudwire and Blabbermouth and look at all the rock news, you know. And, you know, some of the bands that we know, personally, like, have no control over their own music, you know. Like, if they write a new song, they have to bring it to their manager for the manager to say, oh, well, yeah, okay, that's not bad. You can put that on the album. That would never happen with Exciter.
So we can be sure that we'll get an Exciter show tonight and not just some random.
Nå lanserer vi i Meny vår nye kundeklubb, Meny Mer. Som Meny Mer-kunde får du mer tromfbonus på nye produkter hver uke. Og 10% tromfbonus på din første handel. Og i hele sommer får du 30% tromfbonus på over 200 produkter fra Jakobs utvalgte. Så bli Meny Mer-kunde I dag og få flere fordeler når du handler hos oss. Meny. Spiser du bedre, lever du bedre.
Being in a band in the 80s and going on for all these years, do you have any specific good memories the time on the road?
There's so many memories. I could talk for hours.
Yeah, can you just pick out one or two, maybe one really good one and one Spinal Tap one?
Spinal Tap? Well, I usually don't like to talk about the other bands or funny moments because, you know, before I ask them if I can talk about it on the radio.
it depends on how bad it is.
Well, it's nothing bad.
You can cut it out if it's...
Yeah. It's not bad. No, it's not bad. Okay. I'm just trying to think of a funny moment. Okay. Hmm. Okay, this is not about anybody in particular.
Okay.
We were on tour with Accept in March 1985. And we had... because a couple of stories. So the last gig on the tour was the Hammersmith in London. Hmm. The grand finale to the whole 10-city European tour with Accept. And, of course, the Hammersmith has this... great reputation around the world, one of the famous venues, you know. And we were tired, we were on the tour bus, and we hadn't showered in 2 or 3 days, you know, so you feel pretty grungy. So we thought, okay, we'll just take a shower at the venue, the Hammersmith Audio. Well, we get backstage, and backstage, there's like, the backstage area is like different floors, like the first floor, the second floor, the third floor, and there's dressing rooms, which is all in the backstage area. You have access to the stage through any of those hallways and the floors that you're on.
Oh.
Anyways, so we get our dressing room, you know, Exciter. So we go in and, you know, I don't see any showers. So I say, oh my God. But I see this little sink with a water tap. And so, geez, there must be a shower somewhere in the backstage, like in this area. So I go up and down the hallway. I'm trying to get someone's attention, like the security people walking around. And I say, excuse me. I ask one security guard, I don't see any showers on the... He goes, showers? I say, yeah, like a shower. Well, there's no showers here. There's no showers. This is the Hammersmith Odeon, famous place. There's no showers? He says, there's no showers. He says, you can try. There's a bar at the end of the hallway. They had like a little bar. You can have a drink for the bands, like a little. They might have a shower there. So I don't want to go into this bar to take a shower, like if they have a shower. So anyways, I ended up, you know, I wanted to wash my hair at least. So picture this, Spinal Tap moments. I'm in the sink, in this little tiny sink with my head underneath the water trap trying to wash my hair. It was funny at the time, but it was, you know, it was kind of Spinal Tap-ish.
Yeah, you would expect Hammersmith.
No showers. Anyways, that was like a funny story. And we had a good time. That's, and other moments. We toured with Merciful Fate in the 80s, Exciter, Merciful Fate, and Motorhead. And we got to become very good friends with Motorhead guys and all, you know, King Diamond and Michael and Hank and everybody. So we like to pull practical jokes on King Diamond. So the guys in Merciful Fate wanted to play a joke on King Diamond. So, you know, King Diamond comes out at the time. I hope he does. He wouldn't mind me talking about this because I know him. But it's just funny.
Yeah.
And he would come out with his cross. He had like a skull bones cross attachment to his mic. You know, he'd be going, he'd be singing, you know, the grand entrance, the first song, you know. But I can't remember what they did. I think some of the guys in this band put sneezing powder or some sort of power to make him sneeze and be irritated. And I told the guys in Merciful Fate, you're not going to do that, are you? He says, oh, yeah. We're gonna, I forget what they put on this skull bone microphone, the prop. So then, you know, he'd go out and he'd start, you know, and then he'd get all agitated and, you know, he start to sneeze or his eyes would start to water. So
I hope that was just for the sound check.
No, that was during the show. So when they came on, we were on the side of the stage seeing what was going to happen. So, you know, the Merciful Fate come on stage and King Diamond comes out and he starts singing. And he's going, you know, you can tell he's, you know, and then he looks over at us and he looks at us, at his band, and everyone's kind of laughing, you know, as a good humor joke. And he was like, you know, he's shaking his head, he's all, you know, oh my God.
Sneezing and funny. Singing.
That was a funny story. Oh,
okay. Yeah, that's good stories.
Yeah, hopefully the guys don't, you know, mind me telling that story, but it's funny.
Yeah, there were audience there too, so it's not a secret then.
Yeah, no, it was funny. It's funny.
But what about, we were already talked for, soon it's half an hour.
Oh.
So maybe we should pick out some songs for the show, because when I cut this interview, I'll mix it with songs, and the songs should be songs that you've picked, your favorites. Like, there must be one Exciter song, and maybe 10 or 11 other songs from other bands you like.
Well, I mean, you know, tomorrow night we're playing this festival, Beyond the Gates. I mean, one of our classic songs is called Beyond the Gates of Doom, and I don't know if the festival name is based on our song title, but Beyond the Gates of Doom is a wicked song. You know, heavy, dark, fast, classic Exciter song. And as far as other bands,
mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's a difficult question.
It's a difficult question. Just the usual. I mean, we're influenced by a lot of 70s British wave of new heavy metal. So we, Saxon, Wheels of Steel, Grinder, Judas Priest, The Mob Rules, the song, you know, Black Sabbath, you know, again, Ace of Spades, Motorhead, The Chase is Better Than the Catch, Motorhead, Painkiller, Judas Priest, Heaven and Hell, Black Sabbath, Metal on Metal, Anvil, they're good friends of ours. That's a good song. As far as Canadian metal, like, that's a sensitive question with me. It, you know, generally speaking, I mean, the bands, metal bands that came up like us, there's only a few that I like and respect, like the Razor, Anvil, Sacrifice, you know, all those guys. Hell's Bells, AC/DC. Mm. You know, like I listen to all kinds of music, you know, like let's say the more known metal and then more the underground metal, you know, but...
You could say something that's not metal too, if you...
Oh God, yeah, I like everything. Oh my God. I like jazz, you know, I like blues, I like everything. I like Moondance by Van Morrison. Hmm? That's a cool song, you know, because it brings me back to a memory when I was in high school. And, you know, just in this high school I went to, at lunchtime, we had an hour, and all my friends, we used to go to one of their houses to have lunch, but actually party and drink beer, and then go back to school. So this one girl, like a whole bunch of friends, and this we usually go to this one girl's house, and she put on Van Morrison. She loved that album, like, with Moondance, and it's the first time I heard Moondance. Mm-hmm. So it brings me to that memory, going at lunch hour from high school to, you know, these mutual friends' place, and then this particular girl always played, you know, the album of Van Morrison, and it brings me back to that memory. And it's such a good feel song, you know, it's a nice feeling.
Du har hørt et intervju med John Ritchie fra Exciter. Likte du det, kan du høre episoderne med for eksempel Testament og Tyrant. Neste vecka kommer årets siste episode før juleferien, og det en helt ny julespesial med Thomas Eriksen fra Mork og Anders Odden fra Kadaver.
Det en intellektuell diskusjon på ordentlig om pepperkakemenn og pepperkakekvinner og pepperkakepersoner kan ha et skal si, smerteforhold til å miste armen eller ikke.
Gjør ikke du ennå, synes jeg du skal abonnere på Jernverket podcast, enten via podcast-app eller på jernverket.com. Spre ordet, legg en full pott I anmeldelser og hør på episoderne. Og vil du bidra med litt kontanter for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, så kan du gi fast støtte via Patreon eller et engangsbeløp via Vips. All informasjon ligger I episodebeskrivelser. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook, for der det konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Og akkurat nå så det også en svær julkalender der. Du kan vinne premia hver dag frem til og med julaften, så det bare å hive deg på og delta. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og kjører på med et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!